But
it ended up being like I bought one at some point, and I was like, this is...
Well, my stomach's really messed up, so I'm eating this thing called Cookie Karma. It's Holistic Chocolat.
If you could eat that on the mic, that would be really...
Okay, I will. And this will be the beginning of the podcast.
Can you pour it in the...
Well, I'm going to have a Mexican Coke with it.
It might be easier to go down.
Mexican Coke with the
I think
Mexican
the Mexican Coke actually denies or like negates the cookie.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a cookie?
I mean, even if it's a healthy cookie, it's still a cookie.
I know. My stomach's been messed up, so I'm eating chocolate cookies. Yeah. But it's like organic.
No, it's a bunch of good stuff. I know, just...
It doesn't make your stomach better.
Well, I think that's one of the things it says on the back of the package.
Uh-huh.
It makes your stomach better.
They can't literally. Lie.
That's amazing.
Everybody, welcome to Play This Podcast, episode number 12. I'm Carl Sudella, here with Mr. Jason Cross.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm back.
Yes.
I'm back from being deathly ill, which is really depressing.
Yeah.
Okay, it wasn't deathly.
We missed you last week.
Hey, thanks. But Jackie was here, and she was awesome, and so we'll have her back, and kudos to Jackie Talbot. Awesome job.
Yep.
Great show. So we have with us, guest usual, Alex Waro.
Carlos, I'm so glad you're back.
Thanks. Wow, that sounded almost in desperation.
Yeah.
I'm so glad.
I had to talk a lot last week.
Oh, that's true.
I missed you.
Normally you just go like, uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, what he said.
You guys, that's really fantastic.
Pretty much. Or I don't like that. Mr. Damon Brown is here, people. Who I got him in the middle of his drink. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. You come up here often then, right?
So I do, about once a month.
Okay. Well, we'll have you on the podcast. And what's the best thing you played right now? What are you playing?
Oh wow. I want to get deeper into that. I have a few selections.
Oh, we'll get deep.
Sure. Yeah. Just started playing
the best.
Started playing Letterpress.
Okay, yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that later.
Letterpress. We'll talk about that.
A lot of gaming. Yeah.
I forgot to mention what have you been playing, Alex?
The best thing I played this week?
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah.
Probably Hotline Miami.
Ooh.
Miami.
I have things to say about that.
Excellent.
But we'll talk about it in the podcast with other subjects as...
Such as, you have a bunch of stuff listed here because you weren't here last week, so you just built it all up.
Mm-hmm.
But you wanted to talk about Assassin's Creed 3, which is out, and Ultima 9 being on Good Old Games, and digital comics, and... but I'm more interested in hearing you talk about Curiosity and Knights of Pen and Paper.
Okay. Oh, and I like it. Those first few things are okay. I don't really care about them.
They're okay.
But those two things,
the world
I like.
Doesn't need to hear.
I'm sorry. Did you say pen and paper?
Yeah. Yes.
I just want to hear about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
we'll talk about that.
We're going to talk about Halo and game music, and we're going to talk about God of Blades, which I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's
it sounds awesome.
It's pretty good.
But Hotline Miami, which you just mentioned, is definitely something we're going to have to talk about a bit. And we're going to talk about Letterpress.
I'm drinking a Mexican Coke. If you heard that on the mic, I'm going to own up to it.
And a special
healthy cookie.
I mean, it's barely a cookie. It's really more of like a health.
It looks like a brownie.
It looks like fudge to me.
Yeah, it's more like a brownie. It tastes like fudge.
Hmm.
We're also going to talk about Hulu and why Jason doesn't like it at times. Which
Hulu
is
Plus
funny.
Drives me
Hulu
bonkers.
Plus.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And it's a good discussion, so I'm excited to have that.
Yeah.
What do you want to start off with? You want to start with Curiosity?
No, let's start
with Hulu. You're like, you got me going.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. So why don't you do your
So here's my problem with Hulu Plus. I like the amount of content they have. I can't stand that I start watching it and it goes, this program brought to you with limited commercial interruption by Ford.
Or
and then it's and then I get five commercial breaks in my half-hour program that are each 30 seconds long, and I can't skip them or fast-forward or anything. It's more commercials than I have to put up with on my TiVo or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paying for the like extra plus one level of Hulu where I get more stuff and less commercials, and I'm not getting it's as much commercials as I would get watching TV.
Yeah, but you are getting less commercials than the regular Hulu user, and you're getting shorter commercials, right? So
possibly.
No,
I'm not even sure that that's true.
No, it is. It is.
If it's true, then it doesn't feel that way.
So let's say on Hulu Plus, you get two commercials for 30 seconds. On Hulu Normal, you might get a full minute.
I definitely did not just get two commercial breaks when I watched that show.
Okay.
And it was a half an hour show.
No, I don't mean that. I mean like you'll get two commercials together in one commercial break,
right. Yep.
And that'll equal 30 seconds.
Yeah.
In a Hulu Plus regular, non-Hulu Plus world, you get like maybe a full minute.
Yeah.
And there'll be like three or four commercials.
And there's more breaks.
There are many.
But I kind of feel like, all right, I'm not one of those people who are like, there should not be commercials on things I pay for because cable and magazines and everything. I mean, that happens everywhere. But I just kind of, I feel like the level is not where it needs to be for I'm paying a premium service over my internet service and everything else just to access these shows that are, you know, already, and most of them are older shows and stuff. I kind of feel like I should just get my, like, a minute block of commercials at the beginning and be done with it or something.
Right, yeah. And they have done those types of things where, like, watch this movie trailer and then you can watch it without commercials.
Well, one period of time, they gave you a choice.
Yeah. I think they were testing it out. Yeah, but, okay. I mean, like, to his point, so I'm going to have Devil's Advocate later. Sure. But to your point, yeah, definitely, if you're paying a certain amount of money, and it's the same amount of money you're paying for Netflix, by the way.
Wait, is it? What are you paying for Hulu?
It's $7.99.
Yeah,
and you get commercials at all? I think that's kind of ridiculous.
I know it is, right? So on your side, I totally agree because Netflix, there's no commercials. You just pay for unlimited watching.
But you don't get the stuff. Like, but you don't get after it comes out.
Well, and it's also just the deals. It's like
and
Fox,
you're not, and you're also not. But saying you're also not funding the content being created with Netflix,
well, right?
It's somebody else's content.
Right.
But isn't Netflix starting up their own creation?
Well, they are, like, with Arrested Development next year. Yeah. But so that might change. But yeah, for right now, they don't have to pay for the content, so they don't necessarily need to have commercials.
Yeah.
For ABC or whatever.
To play devil's advocate for a minute, we were talking about TiVo. Like, right now, we use Comcast On Demand or whatever every once in a while, too. But, like, we have to, like, you still have to fast forward the commercials, you know? And weirdly enough, this is a little side note, but with Comcast, it's really difficult because it doesn't, like, just know sometimes where the commercial is. You have to, like actively think about it and pause and, oh, crap, we missed it, rewind. So that's actually more of a pain than having a quick commercial break for me. That's just one thing. And the other thing is that we were watching the show, and every once in a while, I think we talked about them in this podcast before, I kind of like the commercial break for, like, getting to the bathroom and that kind of stuff. And
well,
if you're just watching,
you
can always pause the show. But it's funny how, like, we were about to, like, talk about the show, me and my girlfriend, and then we're like, oh, wait, the commercial's over. It was because it was 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I didn't miss it. It didn't affect me as much as I thought it would.
That's fair. And a silver lining to the Hulu commercials, they're voiced by the same guy that does the Walking Dead protagonist.
Oh.
So just imagine.
You mean the guy who...
Lee is reading you that Hulu commercial.
That this brought to you with commercial interruption, yeah. Oh, yeah. Not the actual commercials, because they're just commercials.
No.
The Walking Dead just keeps coming back into the show, man.
I just have to work it in.
Every
I'm going to talk about it for a single episode. So anyways, I think you're totally justified. $7.99 for Netflix and no commercials. $70.99 for commercials does make sense. Yeah. But again,
or that amount of commercials, like, in the middle of the
show.
If
anything,
let me go at the beginning.
Beginning, then, or maybe even once in the middle.
Just once would
be fine.
Yeah, it's too much.
Or twice.
No commercials.
Yeah.
We're paying. No commercials.
Well, here's the problem.
I don't buy that argument.
Right.
I think I know where you're going. The problem is the companies. They don't give a crap. Like,
they need companies, and also the practical side, too, where they're going to treat it like a banner ad, right? So the money coming in from those commercials isn't equal to, you know, ABC, Modern Family, you know, watching on regular television.
Yep.
So until that equals out.
Yep. Yeah, we're still dealing with TV.
You're going to pay for it, and you're going to get the commercials.
And that's how it's a little different. And what's weird, though, is what are those contracts on Netflix that are television shows? Because there's, right, so Lost and Battlestar Galactica, and there's TV shows on Netflix, then there's no commercials there. So
only later after they come out on DVD, because that's what you're really watching.
Right,
you're streaming the DVD.
You're not watching the brand new stuff. Although, I remember them doing a deal with, like, SNL and then Park and Rec, and those were newer episodes from that same season, so...
Really?
Who knows? Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Not brand new, but newer from that season.
Side note, before we get off of TV.
Sure.
I heard you talk about 1313, Mockingbird Lane.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that show. Okay. It's weird. It's a reimagining.
Are they
going to
do any more? There were no episodes.
I know. It's just been the pilot.
Yeah.
I'm really interested because it seems weird. And what's his Eddie Izzard's in it?
That's Eddie Izzard kills it in that.
Yeah. And also, lost it.
I don't know. I don't know what show you're talking about.
No, I mean, I lost it, what I was going to say.
No, is it a different show or is it that show?
No, it was a different show. It was, SNL.
Yeah.
On Hulu Plus, specifically.
Right.
Here's a reason maybe for $7.99 if you're an SNL fan.
Mm-hmm.
All the seasons.
Yeah.
They just added all the seasons.
That's pretty
of SNL.
Darn good.
That's
right. That's
lot.
I mean, that's what I like about, that's the thing I do like about Hulu Plus is opposed to regular Hulu. There's a lot of shows where they just have them all. Last eight series.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, like every episode. You can't get that, you know, any other place for certain shows. So,
well,
and I have to add, too,
DVDs.
Hulu Plus has really good original programming.
Yeah, and there's certainly
like
more of it.
Comedy Spy and some other stuff. It's just
there's a decent
hilarious
amount of that. Yeah.
Neat.
So
I feel a lot better about there being ads and stuff like that that they're not monetizing on TV and stuff.
Can we just address Alex's perfect ending to that segment?
Sure.
Neat.
Neat.
That's the idea of original programming is appealing to me.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The idea of like they put all the episodes of SNL like ever made or even whole seasons. That's just insane. That's intimidating. Like I don't want to watch that. I don't want to filter through that and be
like
oh man, I'm going to pay $8 to go and try and pick out the good stuff from like the last 30 years of TV. Like that's
no.
That's
it
lead
just
it
means,
to Alex Guaro
it just means
to
when
not
somebody's
like
talking about something like. Like, we were talking about Steve Martin. You want to go back and see the King Tut thing. Right. You can go like, oh, I know Hulu Plus has that. You know,
yeah,
and then you can
true
go find it.
It's like a good archive.
I'm not gonna go through all 20 years and find the funny Eddie Murphy skit or something.
And then you have other access, too. You can go and do the best of Steve Martin and call it a day, right?
I mean,
or the best of Eddie Murphy or whatever. So,
all right, what's next?
Let's talk about I can't even say it. It's like a tongue
twister. Holla Back Girl? Are we going to say Holla Back Girls? We're going to talk about
Hotline Miami.
Okay, yeah. Do you want to lead this off, Alex Warren?
Alex, sure. What is Hotline Miami?
Hotline Miami is a game from Devolver Digital. It's available on your PC, and I think it's going to be coming to other platforms in the near future.
Steam. It's on Steam, right?
Yeah, it's on Steam.
PC, and Mac?
I think just PC. It might be Mac as well. That's about it for right now, though.
Okay.
It's like $10. And it is difficult to describe. It is a top-down kind of pixelated game where you hurt people. It is a very
it's a murder game.
It's a very violent
GTA-ish
game.
GTA-ish.
Well,
like the original GTA.
Like the original
one
and
so
two.
Old school.
Yeah, exactly. Before GTA 3 where it's okay.
Right. You really just have
but you don't go around the town, right? It's just
no
a building.
So what you do you basically it's kind of like I really feel that almost every game ever made is at its core a puzzle game. Like no matter what you put on top of it,
uh-oh,
you're solving a puzzle.
We're getting into deep philosophy now.
Okay. So Hotline Miami is a puzzle where the pieces are people and you just have to figure out the best way to kill them so that you don't die.
Okay.
And
because you die quick.
Yeah,
like you can die
in one
shot.
It's just like real life. One hit kills you.
Yeah. No, well, that's not totally like real life.
All right.
Hold on. Can
that's
we
all
test,
we have hospitals.
Can one we test bullet this theory right now? Can I hit you just once and see if you die?
No, because then I'll die. You have to restart.
Oh, man. Reset the podcast?
I don't want to restart.
We have to get another Alex. Oh, we have another
we
one.
We do have another Alex. We have a spare backup Alex.
Also, we both have to have weird animal masks on and
know
be on drugs.
And there has to be great music playing.
Yeah. So I brought Hotline Miami up because the soundtrack is, for the moment at least, free on SoundCloud. You can listen to it. You can download it for like $4 from the artist's page on Bandcamp.
Right.
And it's like a weird 80s synthy kind of, but like real heavy bass. Like it's just this very atmospheric. It makes you feel like you're on drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a great example. Here we go.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Wait for it.
Wait for it. Hey guys, what's going on?
No,
I can kill people in this.
Slow down.
Oh, I need this.
It sounds like something where you should be in a club. And
I know
like
what? I can't hear you.
Other.
This drink is
huh?
great.
Yeah.
it's like you're in a club, but everything is a little slow. And then also the game enhances that by giving these weird like color, like the colors change in really psychedelic ways, and the whole screen kind of tilts and moves and zooms in and out very subtly.
Is there a story where it's like you're supposed to be on drugs or something? Or
so it's kind of a mystery. I'm only about like halfway through, maybe two thirds at the top, and it's there is a story and it's real dark. Like we're talking like Drive, Pulp Fiction,
definitely Drive, totally Drive.
Wow,
that's how it feels.
Very
yeah.
Drive, Taxi Driver. Basically, like every level is like the action scenes from those movies where it's just fast and brutal and really raw and you're always scared because you never know how it's going to go down.
And there's no in between. Like we mentioned GTA earlier. It's not like you walk around a city and it's like these are all missions.
No.
Like, you're mainly on missions.
I should say it up front. The only thing you do is you wake up in your dirty apartment and you go and kill mobsters.
Yeah,
like,
you kill people. That's your main
thing. As far as I know, they're bad
people.
This
is the game where this is the game where everybody uses those games are murder simulators.
Yes,
because this one is a murder simulator.
It is exactly.
But I know you're going to go with it, and it's like there's a mystery to it.
Yeah,
and I've read articles on it too, and like the whole idea
is
like,
do we need the spoiler klaxon on?
No. The very beginning of the game, it says like, who are you? Like to you, the character,
right.
And you're like, and I'm like, I don't know. I just started this game,
Carlos.
But like the whole mystery. My name is Carlos. I put it in the thing. It's supposed to find out who you are, and there's kind of like a mystery about who you even, you know, you are and why you're doing these things.
Right.
Like, they bring up things like, I remember when you and me were doing this one thing. And you're like, oh, I don't remember that memory.
Yeah.
So it's like unlocking memories, and man, this thing is cool. It's just, it's really difficult.
Yeah, so that's
it's
why
really
I think
difficult.
I recommend it. Okay, so it's very violent. Don't let your kids play it, but maybe if you enjoy Pulp Fiction or Drive or Taxi Driver, this is something you want to check out. Check a trailer or something. The actual game is really compelling because it's very difficult, but it's very precise. Like, you know exactly, there's a limited number of things you can do. You know exactly what you're supposed to be doing at any given time, and you can restart instantly. If you die, you just hit R, and like the music doesn't even start over. You just go right back into the game.
Yeah,
cool. It's super fast. So every level takes like 15 minutes to beat tops, and it's very rewarding to die 8-9 times, and then eventually hit the perfect sequence of actions that will get you through the level, and you're like, yes.
Which, again, before the show, we were talking about Super Meat Boy.
Yeah.
And also a little bit like Fez, where Fez, you just start right back over again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it has that similarity.
This
is
like Fez on cocaine in the 80s.
And you kill people.
And you kill all the people. You want to hear another cool music sound?
Yeah, let's.
Yeah, let's hear some cool
can we talk like we're pretending at a club again?
I don't know if it's that kind of song is coming.
Okay. We got to be like,
I don't know. If
it's like a convertible. Like, we're driving a convertible in that one.
That seems like
that is
you have to murder people slowly to that.
That
one
sounds like it's right out of Drive.
I was just going to say, it's Drive.
Yeah. Yeah. I just saw that a month ago.
No.
Oh. Write it down. Write it down.
Drive. Check Hulu Plus.
You know what we should have is like, you know how they do like
Hulu Plus.
Douchebags. They have like douchebag jars, like, you know, like when you say something bad, you put like the money in it. We should have like, if one of us hasn't seen something that we should have seen,
like a little money jar, like the swear jar thing,
like a swear jar, yeah.
And then at the end, we'll buy something.
Yeah, for the maybe we can buy something for these walls.
Yeah,
posters.
Yeah,
empty walls. What's next? Oh, can I talk about Curiosity, or do you want to do something else?
Well, as we're talking about game music.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about. So I've been playing Halo 4. We don't need to get into a big discussion. Everybody knows that Halo 4.
It's a game.
But it came out, as we record this, it came out this week. Been playing it co-op with some guys here at the office on Legendary and stuff. And it's fun. But what I found really interesting was just before it came out, the soundtrack came out. And the soundtrack actually charted on the Billboard Top 200.
Weird.
At like number 50.
Whoa.
Which is the best that a game soundtrack has ever debuted at.
What, does it have an artist in it specifically, or is it just soundtrack?
It's soundtrack.
I'd be curious to know, like, do they count, like, the collectors? Does one box version of Halo 4 include the soundtrack? And if so, does that count on the Billboard?
I wouldn't think so.
I don't know. I'll tell you this. The actual number of sales you need to get, like, number 50 on the Billboard Hot 200 is not really high. Like, a big drop-off after, the top 10.
Yeah.
Or even the top few. But the music's really good. I have a couple clips. So it's different artists this time. Because it's not being made by Bungie.
That's right.
Bungie made all the other Halos. Bungie's musical director is Marty O'Donnell, and he's really, you know, sort of got a lot of fame for doing a lot of, especially the Halo soundtracks. And that was all stuff like this with these like cool drums and strings that sounded like this. It had a lot of throbbing stuff, and then
tribal.
These things, yeah, tribal.
And the voices, too, the monks and the opera stuff.
Whoa, that was a little electric guitar. I'm feeling like Dream Theater? It's a little, no. No one gets that reference.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
So, yeah, I mean, actually in Halo 2, they covered that song with electric guitar and stuff like that, you know. And there's all these covers of that. Halo 4, the artist is Neil Davidge, because it's an in-house Microsoft studio now doing it. It's a different guy. And it's interesting in that it doesn't have any of the recognizable Halo themes that Bungie came up with.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot of the same feel, except it's not synthesized strings and stuff like that anymore. They totally got a real orchestra.
Hold on. That totally sounds like the music from Shark Tank, because I've been watching that.
Yeah, I was like, I know this song.
It sounds exactly like that.
To me, it sounds exactly like the music from Metal Gear.
Oh, okay.
Like Metal Gear Solid
it's a better
2
reference.
And stuff like that. It sounds a lot like that kind of music.
Cool.
It's good, and it did really well, but it got me thinking about game soundtracks and game music.
And then what happened, Jason, after you started thinking
about that? Well, I just started researching some stuff, but I wanted to know what you guys' favorite game soundtracks are.
My favorite soundtrack.
I should qualify it a little. It's got to be a game soundtrack that's not just a compilation. You can't go GTA 4, which is just all radio songs from other things.
My absolute favorite is Mega Man 2.
Okay, Mega Man 2.
Nice pull.
Yeah.
I was going to say my favorite movie soundtrack is Donnie Darko, but that's not on the table.
Nope, not on the table.
Come back to me, Alex.
Come back. I mean, I was unprepared as well. I can give you some favorite tracks. Would that be cool? So obviously, there's the title theme from Civilization 4.
All right,
Baba Yetu, but that was big.
We'll talk to that in a minute.
Yeah. Also, there was a lot of the music in Deus Ex Human Revolution. Like, I really enjoy kind of like the best thing to me about
the
new soundtrack.
Deus Ex.
Yeah, or any soundtrack at all is that there's very rarely vocals, so they make great writing music, right? Because it's just like what we just heard. Yep. It's very instrumental, and you're just like, yeah, I'm into this. So like, what a rock! Like,
can give you energy without some guy screaming at you.
Yeah, or it makes you feel like your day job is a lot more dramatic than it probably
That's
really
true.
is.
That's true. If you were playing that Halo 4 music, anything you do sounds really dramatic.
Yeah. So like, whenever I'm on deadline and I want to feel like I'm really just like I'm just feeling epic and over the top, I listen to like some World of the Warcraft.
Just add an S at the end. World of the Warcraft.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
They're a Torben tribute band.
Yeah.
Or some Deus Ex Human Revolution.
Okay. So World of Warcraft. Deus Ex.
I mean, I think when it first came out, it was Skyrim because it was just like it was so
Skyrim's
epic.
Got some really cool.
But now I'm kind of tired of it. You know what I mean? Like when the new DLC is coming out soonish, right?
Yeah. Pretty soon, maybe. Yeah.
And when that chanting comes back on, I'm like, oh, that's like an old friend. You know, it's kind of cool. But I'm also a little tired of it. But that
like,
was one of the things that kind of took it, that I liked a lot.
The title tracks of all the Elder Scrolls games, at least from Morrowind to Oblivion
Skyrim,
they're all done by Jeremy something.
Jeremy Soule.
Oh. And it's quite, he's good.
He's prolific. He's done a lot of, he's sort of a contract game musician guy and other stuff too, but he's done a lot of
shout out to
stuff.
Jeremy Soule. He's got soul. Come on.
Dungeon Siege and a lot of other.
Where's the drum? We need a rim shot for some of these things.
Oh, you know what? I'm just not on it with the rim shot, but we do have one.
You do it. That's the longest after a joke that's ever happened.
Yeah, I'm just
Jeremy
not
soul.
Right there for you to say. Yeah, so Jeremy Soule, but I was surprised you didn't bring up Ultima as a favorite.
Ultima
soundtrack.
Is definitely there, because we're going to talk about it today.
Yeah.
Well, because it's weird about Ultima is that there's multiple themes, you know, there's multiple different.
Yeah, there's ones that recur
in
the series and then.
Yeah, it's not something like Zelda where you're like, oh, that's Zelda. Well. Yeah.
Yeah. Although Which even that awesome. Has recurring themes, but then every new one has some new songs.
They morph it, yeah.
Right? Well, guys. And just some songs that are just for that game.
Fez had a great soundtrack.
Definitely.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot. I know I'm going to come back to this because
there's
a lot of
modern
games.
So for me,
one of
my favorites is, as you said, Civilization IV, which had a few original songs, but mostly a lot of other period pieces that you'd hear as you go through. But it had that theme song, Baba Yetu, which was written by Christopher Tin. This is the only piece of music written for a video game that's ever won a Grammy.
Ooh.
It actually won the Grammy for Best Instrumental Arrangement, Accompanying Voices, Accompanying Vocals? Accompanying Vocals, I think, is the thing. And here's a little bit of it.
I think of the Lion King.
Yeah.
I could
easily listen to the whole thing. It's really good. But how much do you guys know about this song?
I feel like you're going to tell us a lot more than we
know. I'm
going
to tell you a little bit more.
Okay.
There's, you know, there's
I don't know
stuff.
Much. No.
So this guy wrote it because he was, Soren Johnson, who's the designer in Civ 4, was an old Stanford buddy of this guy, and he wrote it for him for this. And it's been since used in a lot of things. It was used as the opening theme to like the World Games, and it gets used in other various things since then because it's so good. But the reason it reminds you of the Lion King is because this song is the Lord's Prayer in Swahili.
Oh,
those are those lyrics.
I was just gonna say that.
Yeah,
I wasn't gonna say.
So that Our Father who art in heaven, all that.
Growing up,
oh my goodness,
the lyrics are Our Father
crazy.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, all that stuff in Swahili.
Dude, that's Christians get around.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
There was this whole
Seriously.
Thing that happened.
I know, but I'm seriously like, it's just
they do get around.
I'm reading history books right now, and it's like. You can't even believe that. Like, oh, Christianity's there too.
And I think that is the name of this podcast.
Oh, shit.
Christians get around.
Christians get around. Sorry. That's cool. That's awesome. It's excellent. And that's why it sounded like Lion King.
Yes. Yeah, so and the fun thing about that song is go to YouTube and type in Baba Yetu, and you get all these amazing covers of, you know, home musicians playing it on any kind of crazy instruments. Hmm. From, yeah, you got the guy doing an electric guitar cover, and then you get the person doing five different voices vocally, like overdubbing it, and
mm-hmm. yeah, and there's performances too, like dudes dancing and dance numbers and like fountains shooting off at the same. I remember like
this is amazing stuff going yeah. together with this song. You can spend all day on YouTube looking up Baba Yetu stuff, and it's
I great. Wonder how many of them know that it's the Lord's Prayer though.
I don't know.
They're just like, that's just a good song.
I know that my girlfriend is such a humongous jam. Fan of jam. Civ 4 that she has memorized this song. Like in the Swahili.
Crazy.
It's, yeah, it's one of those crazy things. It's a learning tool. Sticks in her head. Nice. She knows those words in Swahili and no others.
You want to really mess her up, teach her the legend of Baba Yaga? Because I learned that first. So every time I hear Baba Yetu, I imagine like a hut sprouting chicken yeah. legs and running around.
And that's and bigger sudden, on the inside
like,
and everything.
Yeah, yeah. And I get really confused.
Hey, I want to talk about Curiosity.
Okay.
Let's do that.
So this is a app/game that came out from Peter Molyneux.
Yeah.
I...
Was
Go
this
ahead.
The one that Peter Molyneux, the parody thing, prompted him to do?
Great segue. Because I just read an article in Wired about Peter Molyneux, and it's basically his rebirth. And we all know, and if you don't know, if you're listening, you know, he's a video game developer. He did things like Populous mm-hmm. and like, you know, what's Theme Park? Or Theme Park. Yeah, Theme Park, I think.
Well, he started Bullfrog
Black and White
back in the day, yeah.
He always pushed the envelope, and he actually did back up his crazy claims of like, why don't we just do this? Instead of moving the character, we'll move the ground around. And,
yeah,
you know,
magic
we'll make
carpet.
Magic carpet, oh, yeah.
Wow, I forgot about
so
that.
So many good stuff. And yeah. so at some point he got a job at Microsoft. And he, you know, worked on Fable, mm-hmm. and he started making those claims again. I think, me personally thinks, what happened is like, he had a bunch of team around him. You know, he had a huge company, a lot of budgets, and different things, and office politics. And I feel like his grand, you know, claims couldn't really, he couldn't come through with all of them sometimes, because it's a big company. It's a different kind of beast. It's not like an you know, independent company trying to change the world.
I think that got choked out of him before the Microsoft thing, because there was, Bullfrog got acquired by EA.
Right.
And they started doing Black and White and stuff. And that was another really high concept game that never quite delivered on the crazy concept that he was pitching.
It was close, though. That's
it was really,
really good
neat
game.
In a lot of ways, but it had all these flaws. And then you were like, oh, EA shoved out the door before it was ready or whatever the speculation is. Anyways.
Yeah. And so for whatever reason, he started down this path of where like people started, you know, certain circles just kind of going like, okay, it's going to be Peter Molyneux. He's going to say it's going to change the world. And it kind of got typecast that way in a bad way, not in a good way like he started. So what happens is at some point he just quit Microsoft and said, I'm going to do my own independent company again, and I'm going to try to get back to where this is at. But what started that, or what helped him kind of make the decision, was this Twitter, this fake Twitter account came up out of nowhere called Peter Molyneux. Right. And the guy was actually a fan of Peter Molyneux, and he would just make these crazy ideas like, in this video game, let's make a video game. You have to cry, and then when you cry, your tears touch the controller, and that's how you win, you know?
Right.
Crazy stuff, and even things that less crazy than that.
Would you play a game where it's just a regular game, except you're crying all the time, and you can pay DLC money to make it stop?
Right, that's good, that's it.
And otherwise, nothing's different. weird
One of them was
like this.
You're a bear and you have to hug people in order to like keep live like breathing. Like you run out of air unless you don't hug people. And then you like kill them accidentally. So anyways, he had all these crazy ideas, but that actually helped spark him and be like, I do want to do these crazy. This guy actually has it. Right, I don't want to do that crazy
idea. Well, let's be clear. Like Peter Molyneux claims that this Twitter account influenced him to quit his job at Microsoft and start 22 Cans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't actually, unless any of you talk to him or have talked to the guy who started it, we don't actually know. We just, but that is the story going around. That, he saw this like...
It just helped push him over the edge. I mean, he was already that way, you know? And like you said, Jason said, like, it started early on where he's like kind of becoming, I don't know if it's disillusioned or a lot of us in our jobs do that kind of thing. We get excited about something and all of a sudden you're like, I don't know about this now. So I think, and either way, 22 Cans produces one app. And it's before. Did you read that Wired article?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's talking about he's doing a huge game, you know, but it's way down the ways. So 22 Cans did the Curiosity Cube. And basically, the cube, and I'll put pictures up on the podcast notes because I actually started using it early on. And you basically chip away at this huge cube, and the whole world chips away at it, and only one person gets to win. And the person who wins, whatever they get, is supposedly going to, you know, majorly affect their life. And there you go. Like, oh, is it Boy Cried Wolf, or is it really going to be awesome? I found out that it's a video.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Does everybody know that?
That's common knowledge.
Okay, common knowledge. But so I'm really curious what could be in a video that's so, you know, life-changing. I think what's more important, and then I'll stop talking about 20 curiosity, is that the process along the way, like to watch what people did with this cube, I immediately chipped in my name. You know, my Twitter account and my Kickstarter and everything.
So it's just millions of little pixels, and you zoom in, you just one pixel at a time changes color to whatever the cube is supposed to look like.
Yeah, it kind of blows away on like a 3D kind of, you know, graphic and stuff. And then, yeah, we chip away all the layers, you know, all the cube. And then when all the layers are done, there's a layer beneath that, and you start chipping on that layer. Mm-hmm. And there's... I won't go into the specifics of it. You can just look it up and download it.
Who wins? The person who chipped the most?
No,
at
the end, the last person. So you could literally just wait until it's done. I don't know if that's...
No, but see, that's the thing. That's the trick is it ever going to... Because when it gets to the last however many pixels left, there's going to be this thing where nobody's going to want to chip at it. Nobody's going to want to be the second to last.
Right.
They're going to wait to get that last pixel, right?
Nobody's a strong word, though.
Right. Well, no, I know
a lot of people will probably happen, pull
but
back.
Like, yeah, who's going to get that last one?
I'm amazed at how fast they're doing it, though. Like, I mean, I put it to like I went to bed and I was like had it by my. I was like, I'm going to look at it in the morning, and the whole cube was like the next layer, and I was like, whoa.
Oh yeah, man.
It's probably done by the time you hear this podcast.
Yeah,
I don't. There's
probably a winner.
The video's probably on YouTube by now.
So what do you guys think? What do you guys think it is? Some people were like, it's God, you know, like some crazy things like. It's not God, obviously, but...
It's a video of, like, an account number or something that gives them all this money. I don't know.
I thought it might just be money, too.
I think it's a trailer for
the next
game.
Someone's life. How's that going to change someone's life?
That's not going to change anybody's life.
I mean, in Peter's eyes, it would change someone's life.
Yeah, that's the best marketing tool.
It's a job.
They did say that what's interesting, and yeah, I remember seeing that. I think it's in actually the rules of the game that talks about being in a video. Mm-hmm. It says, you can do whatever you want with this video. Like, you can keep the information yourself or share it with others.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Why?
Okay. Daniel, what is it? Tell me what it is. You know
who really
I know what it is, but I'd have to kill you.
This is what I want. I want this to happen. In a month or in a week, however long it takes, I want the winner to never, ever tell anyone what's in the video. Yeah. I want him to take it to his or her grave.
I want him to have a t-shirt that says,
I know
what it is.
I know.
I mean, it could be anything. It will change their life because the press will just... We'll just hound
them. Oh my goodness, wait a minute. You might be onto something.
This is like winning
kid.
The lottery with no money.
Because everybody would care about who you were all of a sudden. Yeah.
It's the ultimate what's the word for that in cinema? The
red herring?
No, like the briefcase in Pulp Fiction.
Exactly. Oh. I was just thinking about the briefcase.
Right. Yeah. So,
briefcase in Pulp Fiction.
The briefcase. I think that
the
is
the ultimate
symbol
briefcase
now.
In Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. There's a doesn't come to mind now, but there's a word for that.
I'm blanking. Yeah.
It's a just and the object of desire that it doesn't matter what it is. It's mm-hmm. the Maltese Falcon and the Maltese Falcon. It doesn't matter really what it is. It's just the thing that moves the plot along because it's
or even if you actually see it or it kind of doesn't matter. It's just the pursuit of that.
But Damon, seriously, what is it?
I can't tell.
But Damon, seriously, what is it?
You can tell us, Damon.
I'm sorry.
You can tell us. No, one's nobody will ever know. We're not really recording.
We'll move on, but I just want to say that I love that article in Wired, and I really do think that I'm on board with it, man. I have tons of ideas myself, you guys all know. And like, throw a bunch at the wall and a couple of sticks. So I'm with him.
I'm curious
on this
what his
weird
big
ride.
Game is. What's the thing he's going to spend all this money? Because it's easy
it's
to do something
artificial
wild.
Intelligence
and
in it.
It's well, yeah, but it's easy to do something wild and crazy when it's not a lot of money on the line, like this cube. If he's going to make some $20 million game or something like that.
Well, I don't think it will be a $20 million. I mean, he's got like 20 people working for him, so it's not going to be.
It's not going to be that bad.
Yeah,
but if it's like some big budget thing.
Hey, by the way, Milo was also in that article. They talked about that.
Yeah.
That worked, by the way. That was a working, functioning thing.
Well, if you
it
read the article,
it wasn't
working.
But he worked. I mean, the artificial guy walked. That's all I care about. I love AI. Even if he worked halfway,
if you
I would love it.
No, the reason Milo shut down is that it didn't really work. Like, it worked for those press demos, but it wasn't robust enough to be able to handle an actual human interaction.
That's funny because I read the same article, and we see it two different ways. I saw it as it wasn't marketable. Really, not that it didn't work, but it wasn't marketable.
Now I have to read this article.
Yeah. I know. So, haven't we pitched Wired enough?
I know. Wired pretty great, you guys.
Yes.
Oh, let's move on. That was
let's
a lot.
Just read
Peter
it
Malibu.
Aloud to the other people now. Yes.
What's next, Jason Cross?
Why don't you? All right. So you talked about Curiosity. Why don't you talk about Ultima 9 being on Good Old Games?
Oh, this is a quick one. It's just the fact that. Huh?
Should I play this?
Not really.
Oh, no. Right. Wait. Have you played like Ultima?
I have never played.
You should play. You should play Ultima 7. Ultima 7 is also in Good Old Games. Black 8.
Okay.
Serpent Isles expansion. I think that's on there too.
Yep.
It's $2.50. It's like $2. It's like $2.50. There's no reason why.
Good Old Games is amazing.
It's amazing. So Ultimate 7 is one of my favorite games of all time, and I've been on every podcast saying that. But Ultima 9 is one of those games where back in the day you needed a really super computer to play it.
Right.
And it just totally was jank and, you know,
super
even
buggy.
Super buggy.
Yeah.
And it is still old school and broken in places. And I mean, I fell through the ground at some point and just got stuck.
There's a lot of that stuff.
But there was something about it I was really disillusioned with a lot of modern games, and we'll talk about Assassin's Creed later. And just to go back to something so simple, and it felt refreshing. Like, you know what? They're like, there's a little archer station. Pick up the arrow. Push this button. It shoots a little arrow. All right. Pick up the sword. Do this button. And just the simplest of the simplicity of the world.
Yeah.
And then going killing, like, it wasn't like hordes of monsters and they didn't respawn. There was just like those three wolves, you know? So I was just sitting there. I'm like, 3 hours had gone by and I'm in the world, you know, like in the Britannia, just going like, I'll kill that wolf and I'll go get this thing.
But
and
even so, there was something... There was something really complex about that game for its time in that like having physics on objects and having day-night cycles and stuff. Like for 3D games back then, that I mean, that's why it required the supercomputer to
do. Right, they
All that sort of simulation stuff they did was kind of ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Yeah. What year was that again?
Oh, man.
I don't remember. 99, 2000?
I was alive.
Yeah.
You were alive, yes.
We'll insert
okay,
it.
We're going to start
that's
there.
Well,
I'll insert it in post.
Ultima 9 came out in 1999.
And, yeah, like you said, it doesn't dawn on me now because it's like, oh, 3D graphics. But the things they were doing in the cycles, it's not a great game, but, I mean, it's kind of a broken game.
Yeah.
But it's the simplicity that I loved about it. And also just, like, you know, a big thing in Ultima is, like, having, you know, do you have valor or compassion, you know, humility? And they kind of look at those things as the game goes along. Yeah, the virtues and stuff. So, anywho. My thing is go to Good Old Games and get Ultima 7, and realize where a lot of kind of Elder Scrolls and Skyrim stuff came from, essentially.
Yeah,
and then
bake some bread.
Bake some bread.
Break bread. Okay.
Yeah,
you can cut down wheat. Go to the thing, the grindstone, grind it into flour, mix it with water, make dough, take the dough to the oven, put it in the oven, make bread, eat the bread, get some health.
Yep.
Is it weird that that's why I want to play Ultima 7?
No, it's not weird.
No, it's not at all, and it makes me like you more.
Yeah,
it's like Minecraft with stats.
So, but you said this is in contrast to Assassin's Creed 3, which you've got. So what's the
I'm super curious about this.
Okay, I have not played it. And I want all of you guys to chime in on this one. Wait, no one's played it here yet?
I haven't played it.
Nope.
It's on my list.
It's not on my list.
I love
it's
it.
It's not my list either. That's why I want to hear this, though.
I like the Assassin's Creed games.
I love it.
So.
I want all you guys to chime in. It's like one off after the other. No, I've never played it.
No, never.
So there's, and I was just on Geekbox, which, by the way, here's a thing you should play. Geekbox.net. Go there. It's a great podcast.
Okay.
Ryan Scott does it. And we get to nerd out when I get on there. And I nerded out about this, and I have pros and cons. Here we go.
Okay.
Maybe we should do like a timer or something. I don't want to go too long.
Right,
the timer sound effect. Go.
I don't have a timer sound
effect.
But I'm going to do. Pros are going to do dings and.
Oh, there you go.
I got
thanks.
A buzzer for the bad ones. All right.
So, wait, does it go before I say it or after?
No, just say it.
Okay. So the pro is that the writing is really cool.
All right.
Where what I mean by that is not just in the game. You know how like with Mass Effect, when you find something, it has like a little journal entry about it.
Right.
So it does the same thing. You walk by Benjamin Franklin. You go to like this one schoolhouse or something.
Yeah.
And it gives you a little information. Yeah. The information is accurate, whatever, obviously, but it's funny.
Yeah.
Like they do like, and I'm not going to give you an example because
is that
because
that British guy writes it? Is that
Totally British. Yeah. As in British humor.
There's a British character in the Assassin's Creed games, and he sort of has a dry wit.
Oh man,
he's
the best dry wit.
He's the one who writes these
things. Okay, right. There you go.
Right.
It makes learning fun.
Okay.
So that's a pro. when you're found out and oh, there's the guy, everybody run after him.
Yeah.
The only way you can get away from it is old school GTA, run really, really far.
Oh.
Like running from the cops.
Yeah, like it, and you're
you
like
can't hide in a haystack. Or
no, I mean it's
on a building,
and there's a couple that sometimes, but sometimes it's like red alert, red alert. We saw you go in the haystack. You know,
yeah,
you got to run away, and it just seems so backwards. Like, and talk about taking you out of the experience, right? And the worst of this is this.
Yeah,
the guards are just too curious.
Huh. That sounds
I keep
like
going for the joke thing. Curious, then bam.
The guards are too good at their job.
Well, they're weirdly curious because I'm standing there.
That's what I want about every. That's my problem with every other game. It's like I'm sneaking around and I shoot the guy and I don't kill him and he's like, "Oh, wounded." And he runs down and looks for me for a little bit and then he stops and goes, "I guess he's gone." It's like, I just shot you in the leg and you're just going to give up. No, you will look until you die. You will continue to try to find me forever.
Forever, yeah.
This is BS.
That's a real problem in Hotline Miami. Like, because it's so horribly violent and you're in these tiny little apartments or like condos.
Nobody
or whatever.
Hears this gunfire.
Oh, that's right. And all the guards, massacring people.
Yeah, and all the guards walk patrol routes. That's how you beat a level, is learn the routes. Yeah. And like, you'll just pop out and like snap four dudes' necks and then smash a dog in the face and come out with a shotgun. And there'll be five corpses in the hallway and they'll just walk
Wait,
right
you
by.
Kill animals too?
Regrettably, there are some attack dogs I found, yeah. And they are scary. They are freaky scary.
Yeah, they are. No, and that's the thing. Here's the thing. My biggest con is almost just an overall con of like, yeah, of course we've been advancing graphics and oops. Oh. You know what? I'm really passionate about this and that was bleeped. Yep. And effing grass physics. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can see how that works now, right?
But AI is hard. Like, AI is really
It's hard, but
really
it's not
hard.
That hard, and we won't go down
is
that
it
discussion.
Is it not getting better, though, you're saying?
Exactly. Mm. And also just even behavior mechanics. What you're saying is correct, right? When it comes to they should search for you forever. That's right. Fine. But then on the other side, the conversely, my problem with this one is if I'm in the disguise.
Yeah.
You don't know me from anybody, right? I'm a redcoat.
I'm blending in.
I'm walking down the regular path. That every other person walks down. I'm not even walking in the grass, you know, or being suspicious. I'm walking out, and if you're suspicious of me there, no way. I just want to stop playing the game.
Yeah.
Because what else do you want me to do? I can see that little meter filling up, you know, and I'm like, well, this is making me, you know, horrible. The last part of this I'll say is that there's a specific mission, and if you guys are listening, you can relate to this. It happened in Geekbox. You have to free three sets of natives, and two sets are kind of in this camp, and again, I'm in a disguise. So I kind of sneak over, and people are suspicious of me. I say I get both of them, right? The last one, the last group of natives are on the boat.
Yeah.
The minute you walk toward the plank, the whatever the thing is, to the boat, the one guy is like, suspicious, alert. Like, he won't even let you go to the boat. Okay, fine, I have to go in the water, I guess, right? So I go in the water, and I find climb the side of the boat. Then there's two guys there. They're like, what's he doing? You know,
why is he in the water?
Why is he in the water? What's going on? I don't believe it. And then now that's it, right? So if I one time got through just a little bit, but the minute they find you, the level's over.
Oh,
not like I can't fight. Yeah, not like I can't fight. The level's over. Desynchronization, level over, start over.
I was about to make fun of you and say, like, you know, get better at games, but like. First of all, I'm bad at games too, so it's okay. And second of all, like any instant fail condition where it's just like, oh, restart is bad, especially in stealth.
What are we
games.
In Pac-Man?
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
That's why Hotline Miami is so great. Is when you die, you just hit R and you are immediately back.
Yeah,
in.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
no wait time. There's no like desync and go back to the checkpoint.
So to paraphrase, like Alex did, thumbs good. Up for Assassin's Creed. It's a good game, right?
Wait,
is that what you're saying?
No, no, that's thumbs what you're up saying. For Hotline
I
like, Miami.
I don't think you know.
Okay.
I don't think you know how paraphrasing works.
So we should not play it then.
I mean, it's just too frustrating for me, and the writing is really funny.
Awesome.
I'm done.
Damon,
say something.
Talk about Letterpress.
Let's talk about Letterpress. We got to wrap this up because it's getting hot in this room.
Yeah. Ed is getting really
That's
hot.
That's how
in
you
here.
Know when the podcast is almost over.
Totally. That's right. We don't have to even time it. We just like.
How dripping with sweat is it in this room?
It is. Letterpress is old school. It's simple. It's free. Mm-hmm. It's an iOS game. Yep. And if you're really into letters and words like I am, you'll enjoy it. So the basic idea is this. You have, 25 letters?
Yeah, I think it's 5x5 grid.
5x5 grid, kind of like Boggle. And you go and you pick out the different letters to create a word. Uh-huh. And once you create a word, then you go and you pass it on to your competitor. And they'll go ahead and come up with a word as well. Now, each time you highlight a letter, you get points. And when you take the other person's letters, you take away their points.
Mm.
Keep going until the whole thing's colored.
It's red versus blue, right?
Nice.
Simple as that.
Okay. You use a letter, colors in, if you're blue, colors in blue. If the other one uses red, it colors in red. And then if you surround a letter with all blue, it becomes like a dark blue letter. And then the other person can't flip the color on that letter. They can use it to make a word, but it won't change color for them.
So it won't become a point.
Yeah.
Cool.
And the idea is once it's filled up, whoever's got the most letters, once filled up. It's not the points you earned along the way. It's just whenever every letter is claimed, at that point, who's got the most letters.
And it goes back to the curiosity thing where you want to go ahead and be the one to get those final letters.
Right.
But you have to create a word with those final letters. So we're competing right now. And
who's we? You and Jason?
Yeah, we just started.
Yeah, we started playing earlier today. And I think there's like there might be a Q in there and some other stuff. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be bad. It's going to be like a Q, like a W, and a P.
It's only one versus one then, one-on-one?
Yes.
One-on-one, and it's really tied to Game Center. So you have to, you can play random people, but it'll pick someone from Game Center, just like a random match for you. And if you want to invite somebody, you have to invite them through Game Center or something. It's not email or anything like that.
Yeah.
Cool.
So it's really tied to iOS. So if they're going to do Android or something, it's going to be probably a little bit because it's just using all the Game Center API stuff for like matches.
I like Game Center. I've been like using it a lot lately.
Sure. It's all right. I wish there were more people on it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of ping to me right now. It's just kind of like...
Well, no ping is, ugh, no one's
I know,
ping.
But, you know, it doesn't have the support now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but it's a great little game.
That's cool.
Whose turn is it in our game, actually?
It's mine.
It is your turn.
You guys can play it on the show.
Should we go?
Just give us a minute.
We'll see you guys later. Hey, so Alex, what's going on?
There's an X in there. That's going to be rough.
You know, chilling.
What else? You had another OS or iOS game, right?
I did. Of course, I'm like...
Lightbite and Chef's Feed. You got two of those.
I love Chef's Feed.
Okay, cool. So with Lightbite... Really simple. Someone was calling it the next Tetris. It's not that deep. But it's like 99 cents, iOS. And it's essentially like reverse Tetris. So you have this wall of blocks coming down. Each one's different colors. And you're shooting a star up. You'll go and shoot up a star or shoot a star up and you'll hit a blue block. And if you hit another blue block, then you get points for it, and you hit the next blue one, and you have to continue the color sequence.
It's like Bubble Bobble or whatever?
Similar to Bubble Bobble.
Is that the one where you shoot the little the bubbles at each other, and they all match the same
color?
Except
this one is just vertical.
Okay.
So you just shoot straight up.
Okay.
And then you have like power-ups that appear once you do a certain amount of sequence, and then it's like you can unlock things, and there are missions like only hit the blue ones for 90 seconds at medium speed, and... It was like stupid simple. I got it like 6 months ago, and suddenly I've been traveling a lot, and so I just like randomly pulled it out, and it's just like, I'm still playing.
An hour's gone.
No, seriously, it's one of those games. Yeah, it's a solid game.
That one's Lightbite. That one's Lightbite.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
Cool. All right. 99 cents. I mean, dude, come on.
It's way worth 99 cents. I've been playing it for hours.
Pay your dollar. I mean, God.
Pay your dollar.
It's a
just
dollar.
Get it done.
Just do it.
Those dollars do add up, though, people. I got my iTunes receipt. I was like,
yeah. Did you hear, like, you get those, like, 3 days after you buy something, and you're like, I'm already done playing this. Now I just know I spent some money on this. Yep. Why did I put $5 into that?
Well, sometimes they do the updates and stuff like that, too.
Yeah.
What else do you have, Alex? You have something else, don't you? The God of Blades?
I mean,
you want to talk about that?
It's just a really good game. But we talked about
it.
Games.
Okay, great. Next thing
we talked about a lot of games, and we've been talking.
I have one thing that I'll get into God of Blades next week. But what's the other one I put on there?
The Silent History. Yeah, what is that?
This is really fascinating, and I think you should all take part in it. It's $1.99 on the iOS store, and what it is, it's like an interactive. It's not an interactive. Well, it kind of is an interactive novel. It's a book. Like you're only playing it insofar as you are watching a few videos at the beginning, and then. That's really about it, and you're tapping on the screen to read more. But
you're really not selling me on spending $2.
Okay, so it is a novel that is being told like a serialized piece of fiction. So it's like every day you get a new chapter in this ongoing story.
Remember, I told you me and my girlfriend were doing that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So these guys are actually doing it. Like you guys
are doing it.
But you're working on one.
Well, I think that was a dig.
No,
we have a sound effect.
Do you have a sound effect for that?
I know. It's dun dun dun.
Bird.
I'll edit in post. There it is. No, explain yourself. What do you mean by that?
No, it's very similar. It's a great idea, right? I think it's awesome you guys are doing that. And these guys have a whole team behind them, and they're like have this slick app where every day you get a little chunk. But then also, so first of all, the story is interesting. It's like what was that show, 4400 or whatever, where you have like these all the like heroes. We have these like this strange thing happening to some people of society, and you don't know what's going on. It's kind of mysterious, and they could have powers, or they could be haunted, or they could be aliens. You don't really know, and you're reading all these like first person accounts of what's going on. And you can also go to areas in the world and download like supplemental material.
That's the thing I saw that I liked.
Based
it's like
on your GPS.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it
makes it, what's it called? Augmented reality kind of stuff in a way.
Yeah, sort of. And what's really interesting to me as someone who writes for a living and enjoys fiction is that they are taking input from the community. So you can not only go out there, like go down to Fell Street or whatever, or go down to the local civic center and like get a new chapter, but you can write one. If there aren't any in your neighborhood, you can write one and then you can send it in.
Okay, that's
a different twist.
Yeah, that part's
a little bit of crowdsourcing.
Now, that could be bad depending on depending on what kind of like
here's my story.
They have. Yeah.
This book sucks.
And already I'm
doing like fanfic or something.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm maybe 15 chapters in. They're super short, like maybe 1,000 words a piece.
Okay.
And like all of them are good. Most of them are great. A couple of them have been kind of hit or miss, but I want to know what happens next.
And how long is it? Do they plan on going into infinity?
That no, kind of thing, there is an end point to the story. I think they said, like, see, so you can pay $1.99 and get the first volume. I think there are 6 volumes, and I think you can buy the whole thing for $8, which is basically buying the whole series. And, like, I don't know what the timetable is, but they will do a volume over, like, 6 months or 9 months and then, you know, take a break and then do another one. It's probably a lot shorter than 9 months because it's, like, you know, it's a page every day. So, like, over a month, they'll do a volume. And then at the end, it should amount to about a 600-page novel.
Yeah, so the idea, I think, even the stuff that we're doing is, like, we're working up to a book. You know what I mean? Like, essentially, it is a book. It's just that you're getting it in different kind of, in a different way, delivery method. So that's cool, the augmented reality thing. And it's weird about the people adding story thing. I'm interested to see how many stories
are. Yeah, they've got a, I mean, they read them and call them and stuff.
You
got
to vet that.
I have
probably.
To presume so. Like, in some way. Again, I just picked it up this week and I'm playing with it, but I'm having a lot of fun and I really want to know what happens next. So I thought I would just give it a little
silent history. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah. The silent history. And you can be part
of it. Is there
any
way to sort of check it out for free? Is there a,
no,
get the first chapter free?
I don't
free?
Think there is. But I mean, poke around on their website. There's a lot of like, you know, there's the introduction and the prologue and stuff, so you can kind of get a feel for what the fiction is going to be about. But
so if you don't like it, Alex will give you your $2 back.
Yep, that's what he said. Right. I heard him. I heard him. Yep.
I'm going to get the $8 one.
So. Do the sound of instant repeat. Get the sound
of what?
I don't know. The
make
sound.
Sound. Just make sound.
There you go. See, that would have worked.
Yeah,
he'll give you your money back, Alex.
Hey.
Hey, before we leave, are we done? Are we?
Yeah, we
have one more thing. Okay.
Yeah, it's too hot.
Before we leave and melt. Or in other order, melt and leave. I have a Kickstarter. Just I'd say that's something I'm playing.
Yep.
And it's on the Kickstarter. It's called Everybody Game.
Yeah, check
and
it out.
And it's about a video game arcade. That's a video game show that happens in a video game arcade.
Yeah.
And it's Pee-wee's Playhouse meets video games.
Nice.
Anything dealing with arcades. And anything dealing with you, of course.
Oh, well, but, that's...
You know, the arcades are great. Yeah.
Yeah, check it out. And we
and
are
you're
up
the Pee-wee.
For... And I'm the Pee-wee of the thing. I'm the Paul Rubens.
Yeah.
And we have puppets. And we're going to go inside the video game. It's there's
and
lots of stuff. It's
video game background things. And stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a talking chair?
No, we have a talking arcade cabinet.
Ooh.
His name is Zaxxagon 3000.
Ooh.
His artwork is a cyborg chick. I'm sorry, cyborg woman with a dragon.
What does he do with the quarters you put into him?
No, we don't have to do that.
No, what?
Yeah, he's much more specialized of an arcade cabinet.
Once your arcade cabinet starts like talking.
Is he really an anthropomorphic arcade cabinet?
Yeah, he's got a little bit of, he's got the eyes in the top.
Did you just put a kid inside an arcade cabinet and make him talk?
It's a 7-year-old.
It's a little person.
Yeah. What's funny is the voice of the guy is, hey, it sounds like this. Remember like the guy from Simpsons, the guy who's always the at the burger joint? Oh, ma'am, you shouldn't put the baby on the counter.
Right. Yeah.
So that's the same thing. Like, I'm going to be like, Zaxxagon's always like afraid of everything. So Zaxxagon, it's okay. He's like, oh, these modern video games, I don't know. Yeah. Save state. What's that?
You locked a preteen inside an arcade cabinet. This is like a
and
really
inside my throat.
This is like a really dark Kane's arcade.
No, it's not that. Oh, there and there's mystery.
Ooh,
is there like a new mystery in every episode?
There's a common theme. Remember we talked about Read All About It?
Sure. I was about to say that.
No,
yeah, last time was here.
Hey,
it's got to be.
I'm putting Read All About It style stuff in there. It's a like an ongoing theme mystery. So
nice.
Anyways, we start production hopefully in 3 weeks. We are finishing the Kickstarter in about 2.5 weeks.
And I forget how many shows are you planning right now?
One season of 10 episodes.
Of 10 episodes. Okay.
We're still short. We're just starting to do the major promotion for it now, but we're well short of our, not well short, but we're like almost halfway there.
So look up Everybody Game on Kickstarter.
Yeah,
we'll have the link in the show notes.
It's a good cause because it's a fun show with a lot of people involved in it. It's not just me.
Sounds awesome.
How long is each episode planned to be?
We're trying like 10 or 15 minutes.
Okay.
We don't want it to be like that 5-minute web video.
Yeah.
It's a substantial show.
Yeah.
So we're thinking 10 to 15.
That's cool.
Yeah. No commercials.
Awesome. Well, no, because I paid on Kickstarter.
I know. Yeah. All right, so that's I think that's it. I want to thank Mr. Damon Brown for coming by.
Thank you. You can catch me online at
You're on the internet?
I'm on the webs.
Okay.
My Twitter is Brown Damon, so my name reverse, B-R-O-W-N-D-A-M-O-N. Or you can catch me at damonbrown.net. And my latest book is Playboy's Greatest Covers. Which get it for your coffee table.
Yeah, I still haven't got that book.
It's funny. Like, oh, you sure haven't.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's weird. It's weird. You came here today, too. Could have brought it, but just we'll talk about that after. Yeah. Alex Waro, what's your Twitter name? What are you? You're on the internet.
Sometimes.
You know what? Never mind.
You can find me.
You know what?
You know what? You can find my name at techhive.com, pcworld.com, and on Twitter at AWAWRO.
What's the last article? You did an article on the Tech Hives?
I think Tech Hive, last thing I did was the Wreck-It Ralph story.
Oh, yeah.
I'm rarely on Tech Hive.
That's right. You are also in a video on that.
But I have a lot of fun when I do. Yeah.
Yeah, you were eating Halloween candy.
Oh, that was a good time.
Oh, Jason, and one last thing.
Yes, Damon Brown's back.
Oh, yeah.
I have a monthly tech travel column that's going to start this month
for
Tech Hive.
Nice.
So I travel a lot. I like tech.
I was bringing it around.
Yep.
I was doing that for you.
Nice.
I knew that. And so we just searched for Damon Brown on techhive.com. We'll find it? Or?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It'll be up next week or two.
Hopefully by the time you hear this, it'll be up.
Yeah, because this will be up next
Friday.
That's
right. Yeah. There's a delay. Yeah.
There's a bit of
delay. By now, I guess.
Check it out. Travel tips. You travel a lot.
I do.
Yep.
Jason Cross.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
What's your Twitter name?
Jason Cross 00.
Okay.
Yep.
Just check in.
And you'll find stuff on TechHive.
It'd be weird if it changed.
It'd be weird.
What's your Twitter handle? It's MonsterMash24.
Crodella 99.
I think that might have been a username at some point.
Yeah, probably.
I'm Onawa, O-N-A-W-A, and we have an email that's entertainment at techhive.com.
Sweet.
Yeah, send us mail.
If you want
Something you want to talk about stuff, yeah.
Also, please rate and review this podcast in iTunes.
Yep.
Because I heard that does wonders for your career.
Yeah, we like that. And we
character.
Just want the feedback. Yep.
And it makes you feel good inside.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll have some more special guests on in the coming weeks.
Oh, well, we can talk about next week's. We know the next couple weeks, I think. Yep. Next week is going to be Veronica Belmont from the Internet's Revision 3.
And everything else.
And lots of things. She's
Sword and Laser and all that stuff she does.
Oh, I love Sword and Laser.
This is bold.
Yeah.
Predicting what's going to happen.
Oh, I know. We've never done this before.
I may be dead next week.
We've actually booked guests.
We're booking guests now, for real.
Yeah.
And then we have another couple of really awesome guests the next couple of weeks, and we'll let you know about that next week.
Cool people lined up.
Okay. That's enough. We will see you later. You have a little button now you can push for the ending?
Okay.
Okay.
Goodbye.